Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's it, Pete?
Yeah.
Time for a fine time, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. I'm Marcus Christopher Speller. That's Luke Aaron Moore.
Hello.
That's Jimmy Campbell.
Hello.
And that's Pete Diggory Donaldson.
On your chicken head, be quiet!
Hello, everybody. Lovely to have you with us. It's the Football Ramble Preview Show, of course, before we get onto that quite magnificent performance by Liverpool. The sad passing of Ray Wilkins.
Yeah, I think we should start the show mentioning that. A very, very sad loss to football and the football community as a whole. Like a fantastic player in his time and, you know, a really, really nice man as well. Marcus, you and I were fortunate enough to work with him on occasion. A nice word and a smile for everyone.
Absolutely. I think it's always nice when the tributes come in that people remember him as obviously a great player and so on, but as a great man, and a lot of talk of him being a gentleman and humble and so on. And that was very much true, Luke.
The few times
that I worked with him, absolutely the case. And he made you feel like he was almost like an old friend, or you got on straight away. And not all people who work in the media are like that.
No, you know? Not all ex-pros are like that, for sure.
You two aren't like that.
No, and not all media people are like that. That was the voice of course, our colleague there, Pete Donaldson, who can on occasion be very difficult to work with, for example.
Almost exclusively.
Yeah. On occasion.
But no, genuinely, though, joking aside, because, you know, it is a sad loss.
Only 61 as well.
No age really at all these days. What a player. He played for, of course, Man United, Chelsea and
Milan.
And Milan, of course. Franco Baresi came out with a tribute yesterday, which tells you everything you need to know about how well he was rated as a player.
The head of the Milan derby, you know.
Indeed. But a real sad loss because obviously a man's passed away, but also a link to those truly great players back in the day as well. I remember the first time I was ever able to spend time with Ray. He told me a great story about what it was like to play against George Best. And I'm so sad for his family and his friends first and foremost, but I'm also sad because that sort of link is lost. Those sort of stories, they're not going to be told forever, those stories.
No.
You know, no one in this room is lucky enough to have ever seen George Best play because we're too young. Ray played against him, you know, and that was such an amazing story to hear, and very, very sad, very sad.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Well, I remember, you know, growing up in Scotland, he played for Rangers for a bit, of course, and then came back and played for Hibs. And what a player he was to...
Walked into the team at about 40, didn't he?
Yeah, but a real class act on and off the pitch. And I always find it so inspiring when people remember him, as I said, for being humble and a gentleman and so on and so forth. And I often think, more people should be like that.
Well, he sort of coincided with me starting to really love football. So it's like when he was kind of at QPR, I suppose. I still remember him best from.
Yeah.
And the Tango advert, of course.
But Pete, he did say, he famously said, and I think one or two people might have shared the clip yesterday when the sad news came through. He said, I say to all the young players, you've got to be the nicest man in the world off the pitch. But on the pitch, you've got to be something different. You've got to be competitive. You've got to be tough. Yeah. But there's no excuse to not be a good guy off it. And the amount of outpouring of pretty much just everyone who's ever come into contact with him, no one's got a bad word to say about
him. And more than that, nobody's staying silent. Everyone's going, oh my God, he was the best man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get that impression even from seeing him as a pundit or a co-commentator. He sort of radiated a warmth.
He was just a lovely fella. Yeah, for people like, I mean, When Marcus and I started doing radio stuff, no one really knew who we were. And, you know, why would they? And Ray didn't know who we were at all. but he would be so welcoming. And you know, you do get a certain type of man in that situation.
He didn't care if we had standing or not.
He would be like territorial and be like, "Oh, this is my studio." Mm-hmm. He was always so welcome and so lovely, and I'll remember him fondly because the experiences I had of him in a professional environment were universally positive. And like I say, my condolences, all our condolences to his family and his friends.
Absolutely, yeah, very much missed. Right then, let's move on to the football that happened this week. And my goodness, we have to start with Liverpool. What a performance. One of the performances of the season by Jurgen Klopp's clan. And no manager has a record like Jurgen Klopp does against Pep Guardiola. It is stunning. Mm. And Anfield, when you see Anfield like that, they talk about the European Knights and so on and so forth. That's bloody one of them right there.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was an amazing performance.
From before the game, it was a little raucous.
Yeah, so obviously you're going to get people who are going to go over the top. I mean, they want to make it an intimidating atmosphere. They want to make it hard for the away team to come there and feel comfortable. And I get all that. Of course, sometimes people go over the top and that stuff was regrettable. And I think Liverpool as a club actually went quite quickly towards dealing with that.
Don't waste Copperberg.
I just think that if you're going to... Liverpool fans, they hate it when people park the bus there.
Yeah.
And they're going to take action.
Mm. Mm. But the performance itself, Marcus, I don't know if you tweeted that independently to me, messaging you it, about that first half an hour. Was given the context of the game, it's a big game, latter stages of the Champions League, Manchester City are, you know, really the best team in England consistently across the season, certainly domestically. For Liverpool to play like that, not only to score three and a half an hour, but to shake City to their very core, to the point where they didn't really know what to do. It's the first time I've seen City sort of lose their heads a little bit.
Ruddy magnificent. Jonathan Wilson, our brother in arms, once he said in his a very good piece he wrote about the game that that people believe that Manchester City might have a soft underbelly protected by their possession. And Liverpool went straight for it. Mm. And my goodness, they got joy and success out of that.
It was beautiful. Yeah, they just flew right into them. Starting Gundogan on the left, on the right, was a thing that Jonathan spoke about as well, which is an unusual tactical decision from Guardiola in such a big game. And it seemed to backfire massively. But it's just that relentless kind of energy and surge that Liverpool have. They just overawed them. It was similar to the game at Anfield before, obviously, where they just sort of dominated it. But the worry, obviously, is that Liverpool's frail defence would come back to haunt them. But they seem to have genuinely solved that problem. Well, Klopp deserves a lot of credit for that.
I think that this is going to sound a little bit silly, but if you know what I mean, the second half was almost as impressive as the first half from Liverpool.
Oh, absolutely was.
And what I mean by
that is... Two very different performances.
Yeah. Extremely different performances, but of course, context is key. So they go out, blitz them quite magnificently in the first half. I mean, it was utterly glorious. If you are a neutral, or basically if you're not a Manchester City fan, you're on your feet there, loving every minute of that, because you do, or an Everton fan, of course. In the second half, I remember thinking to myself, how on earth are they going to approach this? Yep. Because defensively, they're not great. They're improved, but they're still not great.
I genuinely saw them shipping a couple of goals.
Well, I did as well.
At half-time.
I thought to myself, I think Liverpool will hold on for the win here, but 3-1, it's a good score, but, you know, it's not as good. And 3-2, again, you know, you take a win and so on, but really, to not lose an away goal is always your priority.
And luckily for Liverpool, Man City just seemed to want to put everything through Sane.
Oh, my goodness.
Should we just give him the ball and see what he can do?
It was bizarre, wasn't it?
It was so weird. Every ball went to him.
Well, they were trying to probably look at Trent Alexander.
They're trying to isolate him, basically.
Yeah. And
didn't work.
And Big Trent was like, all day. Yeah. All day, bruvs.
He stood up to it. What was extra impressive, I think, about the sort of display in the second half was how, despite the fact they obviously took the sting out of the game and tried to just control it and take the lead effectively, even with that in mind, they still looked the more likely to score. They really, really kept City at arm's length. I don't think they had a shot on target, absolutely phenomenal.
I think it wasn't just an impressive three goals in the first half an hour. I think it went further than that, because I think it shook City's belief. And one thing that's been very good for them this season, instilled in them by the coach and by the fact that they've been brilliant and they've got lots of good players, it's their belief. Their belief in believing in what they were doing, if you like, was shaken by it. And I think at half time, I think Guardiola probably said to them, you've got to get a goal. You've got to get a goal here. Even if we lose this 4-1, we need a goal. And I think Klopp probably knew Guardiola was going to say that and then said, look, they're going to come at you now and you've got to stand firm. And Liverpool did stand firm. Mm-hmm. And Jim's right, because it was almost because City's belief was shaken in the first half, they were almost a bit reticent to try anything different because they thought we could get caught out here badly.
Yeah.
So they kept doing
it. They just kept trying to rely on Sané.
And I also thought I mean, it's easy to say, and I do understand, because Guardiola's had such success in the past as a manager, that he does get an awful lot of criticism when he gets something wrong, more than other managers do. So I'm aware of that. But I do think he was trying to be way too clever with his selection. I mean, putting Laporte at left-back and not playing Sterling. I know Sterling's had his problems with the Liverpool fans, but, I mean, you've got to trust your best players to get on with it.
They looked a little bit better when Sterling came on, and Sterling perhaps should have had a penalty. Even though I thought, you know, Robertson had a very good game, but that one could have been a pen.
I thought that there was a decision early on. I can't remember who did it, but like a Man City player just blocked off the Liverpool surge. And there was just no cards. The referee seemed very reticent to take his hand out of his pocket.
Yeah, he booked some players a bit more later on in the game when Liverpool were trying to slow the game down and that kind of stuff.
But Liverpool showed, and Klopp's team love this, just press them.
We talked about this, Marcus, on the show. We talked about it time and time again. You've got to upset their rhythm. You've got to get amongst them.
They didn't let Manchester City get into their flow. And it's so difficult to do. But when they play as a unit like they did, you know, you remember when Chile were an excellent side, it was like the people just likened them to a swarm of bees.
Yeah.
And they'd all, like a unit, move around the pitch. That was Liverpool last night. And especially when they defended, 10 players behind the ball.
Yeah.
And I thought it was quite interesting when Vinny Kompany, as Steve McManaman kept calling him on the commentary, he said after the game, you know, and you could tell that he was in sort of slight disbelief and a bit annoyed. And he said, well, you know, we dominated that second half. And I thought, well, only because they let you, only because they were happy for that, because their job was done in the first half.
Not in the box, you didn't.
No, certainly not.
Not in the slight. You were taking pot shots from 30 yards, mate.
You can't say you dominated the second half if you didn't have a shot on target.
I mean, dominated possession. But it's fine. You give the ball up, and the way Liverpool defended in those numbers was superb. Mm. Superb.
I was particularly impressed with Oxlade-Chamberlain without the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked absolutely fantastic.
You know, we suggested, and as many others did, and it was understandable at the time, that it was a bit of a sideways move from Arsenal to Liverpool. Well, my goodness, he's having a great time, isn't he? Yeah. You know, latter stage of the Champions League, one foot in the semi-final, and he's playing the type of football that he should have been playing before. He's in the central role. Okay, it's a bit difficult to say what a central role is when you have a midfield three. And all.
More so than he was before.
Much more. He's not on the wing, is what I'm saying.
So often with how much fun they have when they're in the centre. I'm getting so much more ball, I can show what I can do.
I appreciate he was put up onto the wing when Salah went off, but you know what I mean.
And also, there's no need to use this particular game as a jumping off point to sort of criticise Arsenal, because you know, they're playing tonight, and maybe we'll talk about them on Monday after the weekend. But the difference between playing for a manager who is in the prime of his management at a club, and everyone knows their jobs, and there's a project. Arsenal are drifting at the moment, so it's understandable that some of the players are going to drift themselves when the leadership issue is still a question that needs to be answered. For him to slot into a sort of well-functioning unit where the manager knows exactly what he wants to do, is obviously going to make a world of difference to a player like him. But I wasn't picking him out just because he scored a great goal. I just thought he was so diligent in that midfield, because you expect that from Milner and Henderson. You know what you're going to get with them. But I thought it would be a shame if Oxlade-Chamberlain went under the radar with the ball, because he was every bit as good.
At the start of the season, not everyone would have... I know I seem reticent to talk about England when you're talking about Liverpool versus Man City.
You never feel reticent to talk about
England.
True enough.
All right, you've twisted my arm. Let's talk about England. No, at the start of the season, some people have said, oh, is Oxlade-Chamberlain, is he worthy of getting on that England jet? Whereas now... people like
we found a bigger
thinking,
jet.
Yeah,
we found a bigger jet. No, people are thinking he's probably a starter.
And well, he's certainly a very, very good option from the bench at the very least. He's forcing his way into contention, because his problem at Arsenal was that he didn't have end product. Uh-huh. Perhaps it was because
he never defined position.
Well, what about that midfield three for Liverpool? Hendo, Milner,
Oxlade-Chamberlain.
His goal, Oxlade-Chamberlain's goal, was interesting, because I think the City players thought a free kick was going to be given against them, and that it didn't come, and they just took that sort of split second of hesitation that he exploited, and just, you know, what a shot. He still had a lot to do.
Fair to say they were punished.
Absolutely, but I think, you know, Liverpool were already in their heads at that point. That is a drop of concentration from four or five players is not something you associate with a Pep Guardiola team.
No.
So, like, how do Liverpool approach the second leg, do you think? Because it feels like the tie's over, doesn't it?
Yeah,
but that's a dangerous place to be.
I don't think the tie is over in any stretch of the imagination. Bearing, like, quite apart from their losing Henderson and probably Salah as well, because he limped off. And it's only
Salah said he was fine.
Yeah, okay, well, that's going to happen Tuesday.
Yeah, but Henderson's a
miss. It could be a completely different game. Man City are not going to have an off day like that again, I don't think. And it's going to be...
They've also beaten Liverpool 5-0 this season.
Yeah,
but to be fair though, Mané was sent off in that game.
That can happen.
Pre Van Dijk, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would not discount Man City scoring 4 goals. I just can't.
Liverpool are now 11-2 to win this season's Champions League. So £10 with Bet365 will return £65, including stake, should they go all the way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I agree with you, Peter. I don't think the tie's over, and I don't think anyone would think that really. But the Etihad can get a bit nervy.
But that helps. But everyone sort of fearing that, I think, helps Liverpool. It plays in Liverpool's hands because they're like, well, we're going to have to go for it again. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go for it again, try and get an early goal and then defend like Obilio.
Yeah. Liverpool can hopefully just try and pick them off. They're not under any. But I would imagine Klopp will just get them to play their normal game, I expect.
Because
if you do that, the likely scenario is they're going to exchange a 3-2 or a 3-0 draw, and that's fine for Liverpool.
Absolutely. How do they approach the Merseyside derby? That kicks things off in the Premier League this weekend.
With glee, I would imagine. What a terrible time to be Everton. Yeah. Well, the last thing you want.
They haven't beaten Liverpool since 2010. Can Sam Allardyce inspire the troops? I mean, bear in mind, they were hammered by Manchester City.
Yeah, I got a bit of criticism for saying that the only way to beat City and to upset City is to sort of try and attack them and go for their rhythm. And then I criticised Everton for playing quite an attacking lineup. Everton aren't very good.
No.
That's the problem. Obviously, there are only a certain amount of teams who can do it.
Yeah.
And Everton don't appear to be one of those teams.
Wigan are one of them.
They are. Well, they were, but they couldn't beat Portsmouth last weekend, could they?
Palace upset their rhythm very well as well. That's a good point. Jurgen Klopp himself said that if you sit back against City, you're basically hoping to win the lottery, I think was what he said, because you know they're going to get chances and you're just hoping they're going to miss them. So the best way is to get in amongst it. But
it's easy to select when you've got a load of really good players.
Absolutely. But do you think Allardyce will do the same he did against City, just try and go for the jugular? No, I would like to see that.
I think Everton, I don't really know, but I think Everton will be beaten. That's what I think will happen.
Yeah, I do agree with that, but Liverpool will surely have to rest a few players because that pressing game against Man City that they play, and they will have to do it again soon enough, that takes an awful lot out of you.
They've got a 10-point cushion in terms of their top four ambitions.
Well, they'll finish top four.
Yeah, so you wouldn't be surprised if they do rotate a little bit.
They have to prioritise Champions League now, if not already. And they're a great cup side as well.
And given that it's a Saturday lunchtime kickoff, those games can be quite pedestrian. You wouldn't be surprised to see a low-scoring game and Liverpool rotate a few players, maybe a draw or something like that.
Yeah.
But Liverpool's priority will be finishing that job next week during the week.
Definitely. Are we ready to move on to the other derby that's happening?
Yeah, sure.
Which involves Manchester City. They can pick themselves right up and beat Manchester United. Although, can Jose Mourinho save face and postpone Guardiola winning his first English league title?
He'd like nothing better.
he will make this a really, really tight, snippy game.
Turgid.
He will try and get in City's heads to try and sort of postpone that party for a little
Jim,
while.
Is it fair to say he would have taken absolutely no inspiration from Liverpool's performance?
No, he will pack the midfield, pack the defence, and do nothing up front. Lukaku won't even play.
Could he blow the title race wide open with a win and reduce it to 13 points? That's what I'd like to know.
He might well do.
This Liverpool match might have knocked their confidence massively. It might go massively off the rails.
Imagine it. Don't pick up another point.
Marcus, do you expect Mourinho to upset the party?
I think they'll give it a bloody good go. But will Man City rest players? I mean, I suppose it's not as big a deal because they have such a great squad. Mm. I'm more interested in that Manchester City seem to have got a deal with Tinder now.
Yeah, I heard about that.
After talks with Manchester United broke down, which is quite fitting if you think about it.
Even Tinder thinks that he is sexier than United.
Well, you know, I think it would be a sleeve sponsor. So Everton have Angry Birds.
Yeah.
Or have had Angry Birds. I haven't checked recently.
Yeah, they have, I think, yeah.
Yeah, they certainly did this season. And Tinder were talking to Manchester United. But they broke up or something, I don't know. And now Manchester City will be swiping right.
Which one is right and which one's left? I don't know.
I think
Pete?
Right is good.
Outrageous. You know I'm not allowed on there.
I found it quite amusing that, yes, Tinder were like, Man United. Actually, a more attractive proposition has come along and we'll go there.
Yeah.
But I think that it'll be a great game. And actually, really, for Manchester City, it is a wonderful opportunity because you're right, Luke. It did affect their confidence, and it did affect the mood of those City players to see them out lost for ideas and just sort of spraying the ball out to Sané and hoping for the best and thinking, hang on. And the one little criticism people say of Guardiola is he doesn't have a plan B. because his plan A is so bloody good.
Right, and also because he's stubborn as well.
He is stubborn, but there is something that if it doesn't go right for Guardiola, everyone goes, you see? Mm. And you think, but it often takes an awful long time for Guardiola to get it wrong. And just by the law of averages, at some point they will, something like that will happen. And you can say, you should have started Sterling and whatnot. They're romping the league. You know, they've already won the League Cup. And they're still in the Champions League, although it was a wonderful performance from Liverpool that perhaps is going to put them out.
It was a great Champions League couple of matches, like obviously in the Real match, obviously, which was absolutely huge. Like,
indeed,
you guys spoke at length on the continent, but
it's been
I wouldn't mind a crack. Bicycle kick, brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, go on.
High feet.
He was 7'2" off the floor, Pete.
Wow.
When he hit it.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
That's taller than you, Luke.
It is. It's a foot taller than me.
Is that right?
Apparently he was, yeah.
That's Andre the Giant's actual height, I believe.
Marcus, can you...
But what I was going to say about this game is for Manchester City, who will be shaken by that and potentially their confidence dented, for them to have a derby match to win the league. Yeah. What an opportunity to suddenly go, bang, we're the bloody best team. It puts everyone in a great mood. There's a celebratory, jubilant atmosphere around the Etihad, and they're ready to take on Liverpool.
Yeah, let's go finish the other job.
Absolutely right.
They're professional enough to do that, aren't they? The mentality they have... I really believe that Guardiola can just get them ready again and they won't probably wobble.
Mm. Do you think you can read much from the game at Old Trafford? Where City dominated possession, dominated the game, really.
I suspect that will happen.
They only went 2-1.
Manchester United might try and take the approach that they did against Liverpool when they came out. And to be honest, quite Liverpool-like against Manchester City. You know, go out, try and hit them once or twice, get a goal, get in front and then defend the lead. But that was at Old Trafford against a different opposition, Liverpool. I think, or perhaps they'll take the approach that his Chelsea side did when they used to go to Manchester City and just frustrate them and then try and hit on the break.
Because so many teams are sort of blistering going forward, both domestically and in the Champions League now. I know they're still second, and I know there's still a lot more football to be played in Mourinho's managerial career. But it does feel like he's been like massively left behind. It feels like the way he's going to set his team up against Man City at the weekend is almost going to seem quite old-fashioned.
Mm. I would wait until you say Mourinho's been left behind. I do understand that, and we have talked about this, but it wouldn't be shocking if next season Mourinho and his side had a proper title.
Probably go at it.
It would be very Mourinho-like. Well, but we will find out, though, in the next season or two, if Mourinho has been left behind or not, and it's crunch time for him, which is why he's getting particularly antsy.
And he won the treble last season, so it wasn't that long ago. Man United are 14-5 to spoil the pet party on Saturday evening. So £10 with Bet365 will return £38, including stake. We'll all look forward to that one, won't we?
Certainly will. Certainly will. Let's have some correspondence with our friend and yours, PTD.
I'm a friend to many, an enemy to some.
Yeah.
Hello to, my phone's gone funny, Casper De Buur. Casper De Buur. Thank you, Casper. Hello, Ramblers. On the topic of dads behaving badly at football games, I think we had one a little while ago. I thought I would share one of my most bizarre experiences of my childhood. As a 16-year-old, I decided to start refereeing youth games for some pocket money. I was refereeing a game in the 2nd Division Somerset Youth League between Hamilton FC and another team. After having already told two linesmen that their services would no longer be required after they threw C-words and F-words at children no older than 14, one lad went down injured 10 minutes from the end of the game. As his father walked on to see if he was okay, another father, presumably from the other team, screamed, "Your kid is a fat bastard."
Oh my God.
A full-scale brawl broke out with punches flying left and right. A senior referee advised me to call the game to a close, which I did. Now the story gets very bizarre. When on the pitch next to me, another game was being watched by none other than Peter Andre.
Was he involved in the...
He wasn't involved in the scuffle. But you think with those pecs, he'd probably be able to deal
with
it.
He's probably there with some mysterious girl, wasn't he?
Hey.
At least any more of their other songs.
Yeah.
Do you? It's hard to think of one, isn't
I've
it?
I've got nothing.
Oh, Insania.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Insania.
I don't remember that one.
Is insane, yeah.
It's after we went into the jungle, mate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, latter day Andre.
I'm pre jungle Andre.
You're more of a purist.
Yeah, latter day Andre Saint.
Yeah.
Ian McMillan. Hello, Ian.
That was good, Peter.
Hi, guys. It wasn't. With the continued need for the Ramble, I always do that, Marcus, so I don't know why you say it. With the continued need for the Ramble to seek diversified commercial opportunities, can I suggest a pop up airline? specifically designed to take the England squad to the World Cup. It'd be more glamorous than T-shirts and razors. Get lost, Ian. Oh, yeah. We'll be us and you'll be you.
Yeah. Since Ramble Worry about Airlines... yourself, Ian, you lippy prick.
Since Ramble Airlines would only have two flights every 4 years...
Hang about. I would like to say, before anyone... I was talking about Ramble Airlines years ago.
You were, yeah. Actually, that's true.
Right, so yeah. if it ends up, it's not his idea.
Two flights...
Don't steal our idea and try and sell it back to us.
Two flights every 4 years. We've got to go to the Euro. We're Euro-tunneling it.
Indeed.
It could focus about having the very best customer services. So the flight on Ramble Airlines might go something like this. The aircraft, we only use the Airbus 380. Even in business class only configuration, it has a capacity of 300. Nice. However, the plane is completely full after Marcus found a FIFA loophole that allowed a larger than normal squad to travel. Jonge is not on the flight.
Oh boy, he is.
The flight crew, Captain Pardew and First Officer Carver will be responsible for our safe arrival in Russia. After Pardew's agent failed to secure a premiership role for the next season, he decided on a career change.
Premier League.
Captain Pardew assures us that at this stage in his career, we don't need to be concerned about any new pilot bounce.
No.
So there we go.
Cabin, turbulence.
Yeah.
Cabin. That turbulence, that was a new pilot bounce.
Pardulence.
Yeah.
Cabin crew. Cabin manager Ronaldinho. It's only problematic when Maradona gets found unconscious in the toilet and Ronaldinho...
Why are they even on there? Why is Maradona on there?
Ronaldinho will only talk to female cabin staff.
Maradona does not want to be on a flight with a load of England players.
By the way, Kevin Keegan better not be involved in this.
No.
Yeah.
If he is, that's out. If Don Hutchinson's got
his chap out,
that's out of order.
Finally for now, amenities. The squad will arrive in Russia feeling super fresh due to an unlimited supply of Pete's favourite skincare range, Upper Class Grease.
There we are.
So there we go.
I don't like this. He's taken my idea.
Yeah.
What, and fleshed it out and made it work?
He's made it worse.
Thank you, Ian, for that. If you want to get into the show, shortthefootballramble.com.
There we are. Right, we're going to talk about West Brom and Stoke and other teams that are fighting relegation after this.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was like the parting of the Red Sea. People just went whoop.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365.
Marcus, can I just say, not even West Brom fans want to hear about West Brom at the moment.
Really? Nah. But I think we all want to hear about it when big Mick McCarthy's been linked with a West Brom job. I couldn't believe my luck.
Old misery face.
Have you got a Mick full of the joys of spring quote?
Funnily enough, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's due to leave Ipswich at the end of the season, of course. He's a little disillusioned at Ipswich, saying... I've never been in a driverless car, and I never want to go in one, which is classic McCarthy.
Incredible, isn't it? No curiosity at all.
But I would imagine it feels like how I'm feeling at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is great. And then
that's probably how the Ipswich fans have been feeling for the last few years as well.
He should be driving. He's the manager.
Yeah. I think that's his, He said that a little part of him has died.
Wow.
Yeah.
While saying that he's interested in the job.
While he's still managing.
A little part of him has died.
He's managing the club.
Incredible.
He's still there.
Yeah, and he told his own fans to F off earlier in the season.
Of course he did,
Nice to see.
Well, there's concern at West Brom that Mick McCarthy might go there, but also that he used to manage Wolves. Although Steve Bruce, previously at Birmingham, was having a decent time at Villa Park. Mick McCarthy isn't worried about that, though. He said, the Albion, that would piss a few people off, wouldn't it? But you know me, I like pissing people off. Who's going to employ this man?
Yeah. Well, apparently an endless string of clubs.
Yeah, because that's how football works.
Yeah. Poor old West Brom. I mean, as if they've not had it bad enough. Although you never know, Big Mick could ride into town and sort it all out.
Well, he won't be able to, will he? Because they're going to be relegated.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's won for the Championship. He knows the league very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, that's surely the thinking.
The problem, though, when people say, oh, he knows the league well, you don't want to know the Championship too well, because presumably you want to get out of there
at some point. Yeah, because it means you haven't been able to get out of it.
You want to know the Premier League better. But maybe Mick, no,
Mick is on nodding terms with the Premier League. If Mick saw the Premier League walking down the street towards him, he'd give him a nod, say, how you doing? Nice to see you. How's your family? But that's it.
Don't ignore me.
No.
Mrs. Premier League. La Liga.
And the Premier League would go, none of your business. You don't even know her.
He bloody well knows the World Cup, though, doesn't he?
Mick does,
Get him back in there. Even though there's no job at the moment for him. But West Brom, they're at home to Swansea City on Saturday. It's a chance, I would say, for West Brom, but it's more of a chance for Swansea, really, to put some distance between them and the bottom three. The bottom three, Stoke play Spurs, Southampton play Arsenal. Sorry, not the bottom three, teams who
in
are...
In relegation danger.
Yes,
yeah.
Who are in the bottom two.
In the mix-up.
That's right, yeah. That is a chance, because Swansea are favourites going into that game. I mean, for crying out loud, it doesn't seem that hard to beat West Brom at the moment. Stoke playing Spurs, you'd imagine Spurs would win there. Southampton away at Arsenal, you'd imagine Arsenal would win there. So a great chance for Swansea. And Swansea currently holding talks with Big Carlos about extending his contract. Couldn't find a humorous quote from Carlos. He must have been asleep during those talks.
And he deserves a contract extension to be
kept
in the Premier League, because it's easy to forget now how sort of dodgy it was looking at Swans. They've been through a hell of a lot of managers over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And I said on this show, I thought he could improve them, but he couldn't improve them enough to keep them in the league. Well, he has done that. I mean, he's done very, very well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, they're 3 points above Southampton at the moment of Swansea. Now, Southampton... Southampton don't have a game in hand. They've got a game in hand on Palace and Huddersfield. But if they can win, which... they are the favourites too, you'd imagine. And if Southampton fail to beat Arsenal, then 6 points that go above them. Obviously, it depends on what Stoke do. But my goodness, you know, it could be a great weekend for Swansea.
Crystal Palace have got a winnable game as well against Bournemouth, by the way. So if Crystal Palace win and Swansea win, it's almost like the writing's on the wall for a couple of those teams down there.
Well, Huddersfield, you'd say they have a winnable game away to Brighton, but the way Brighton have been playing, you know...
Brighton are good at home.
Yeah, they are good at home in Huddersfield. They can't score. I mean, Wagner might start to worry if they lose this one, although he seems pretty...
he's pretty relaxed about it.
Pretty relaxed.
Well, West Brom are 7-5 with Bet365 to beat Swansea at the weekend. So £10 will return £24, including stake, should the Baggies pick up their first win in the league since the 13th of January.
Indeed. A win for
which, by the way,
seems unlikely.
Is their pretty much almost their only win since around August time, I think.
My goodness. Mm. A win for Spurs against Stoke could put them well in the hunt for second place if Manchester City do them a favour. So it's a big weekend for Spurs as well. Considering Liverpool, there is a derby game, and yes, they've had a much better record than Everton in that derby, but they could rest a few players. It wouldn't be outrageous for the game to end. Well, it would probably if it ended in a draw. We've had just talked up Liverpool massively. But Manchester United certainly could drop points.
Yeah.
And Spurs, you know, because second place, it makes all the difference. Mm. Finishing either fourth or second. You don't want to go through any preliminary rounds or anything like that in the Champions League.
Spurs are on the longest unbeaten run in the league as well, so they're highly motivated to sort of, like, you know, get any advantage they can if United do slip up.
Absolutely.
Stoke are going to struggle here, I think.
Spurs finished last season astonishingly well. I think they won like 6 of their last 7 and lost 1. And do you remember their final two games of the Premier League season last year? And Kane scored like 7 goals in 2 games.
He
took the Premier League top scorers. He looked out of it.
Yeah.
He got 3 in the penultimate game and then 4 in the final game. It was the final game against Hull. They won 7-1, something like that. Spurs do traditionally, based on last season at least, finish very, very strongly.
Traditionally, I mean, didn't they get beat, 5 or 6 by Newcastle?
Season before that, they got muntered.
6-1 against 10-man Newcastle.
Already relegated 10-man Newcastle as well.
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go.
Oh, speaking of Newcastle, well... not really, but you see where I'm going to go.
Are you going
this.
To bring up bloody Mitrovic again?
No.
Oh. Oh, he did score midweek.
I did. He did. Didn't he?
You've done it yourself.
might have placed a bet on him being top scorer after last week's Lukey odds.
Don't give away what you're going to put in the envelope for our World Cup prediction.
Good point, actually.
It's a highlight of everyone's tournament.
It means more, though.
Can the immortal words, your top 3, top 5, top 10 quotes of Ramble history, Pete? Obviously, trust is a two-way street and I can't drive was one. But another one was...
That was
obviously,
so revealing of what goes on in his mind.
What goes on here all the time.
Yeah, true, yeah.
But one particularly famous international theme one was just merely a penis will be seen.
Yeah. And a penis was seen, so...
Wrong tournament.
Oh.
Can it really be 2 years since you uttered those immortal words?
Well, actually, he didn't say them. I had the pleasure, but he wrote them down. This was in our European Championship pre-tournament predictions.
I mean, that very much sounds like I was writing stuff on the way to the studio, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't research any... cock.
Yeah. But Pete, you are the sort of man who writes things on the Twitter wall, aren't you?
But the question was, name something that will happen, that something outrageous, something, you know, an occurrence, and you went straight for that. But that's fine. That's why.
I think you went for drone, didn't you? Did you go
for drone? Oh, I think I said Michel Platini in a wig and fake tash because he was banned from the tournament.
Oh, right. Okay, like
that. And I famously said that Portugal would win it and Ronaldo would be injured in the final.
And a moth would try and eat his face.
Yeah.
But Peter, I'm you know, going to try and bring Newcastle into this. I saw a headline in a national newspaper that said, Hatem Ben Arfa announces he will leave Paris Saint-Germain this summer, but winger doesn't appear too concerned as he plans to celebrate his birthday and considers bringing pizza into dressing room to anger the club.
You showed me that the other day. That entire sentence is the headline to this piece as well.
Honestly,
I love it. Considers bringing pizza in.
You don't need to read the article.
No.
You've got to get that SEO in, man.
They've just ruined his plans.
But he's having a lovely time. Like, he's just having a lovely time just chinning PSG off. Like, PSG going, you moved to Turkey, and he's gone, no, I'm not. Like,
do you know how much money you're paying me? I'm staying here.
He hasn't probably gone for a year, is that right?
It's a shame.
They hit him there. And
because he did okay in his first season. I think he played a respectable amount of games.
Is he a Rafa kind of player, Pete? Can you see that happening?
No.
Can you see Big Mike actually releasing the funds?
Well, that's the first problem. And the second problem is if there's no room for Mitrovic, there's no room for Ben Arfa.
No. Yeah.
But how much more interesting would it be if he got
those
two?
I think Ben Arfa's probably more reliable than Mitrovic.
How dare you? Mitrovic is... You just had a bet on him for the top scorer of the World Cup.
Well, my opinions can change very quickly.
Yeah. And also, they're not reliable.
Pete's footballer's opinions are a two-way street.
Serbia is a very different proposition to Newcastle.
All right.
For example, they're ruining our clocks at the moment. Serbia and Kosovo. They're having a battle, so all of our clocks are out of whack by 5 minutes.
At some point, in the vague past, I'm just going to gloss over that.
I want that to be explained.
They're changing time.
The Hertz, I think it's Hertz. The you know the rhythm of like the electricity, direct current going back and forth.
Nope. Right.
Or actually alternate current going back and forth. Because of Kosovo and Serbia having a bit of a argument, as they are wont to do.
Yes.
Looking at the history, they have been one's been using too much energy, which has drawn the power down ever so slightly, which means that all of the clocks that rely on that alternating current to keep time, like a clock connected to the mains, does not have that regular kind of rhythm.
Is this why
Big
Ben's having repairs?
Maybe, but we're 5 minutes down. So now people are deciding whether to bump it up by a couple of percent to make the clocks go faster for a couple of months, or make it a bit lower.
Why is this happening? Why are we talking about this?
Well, I don't know.
But I find it incredible
I throw it out there, you guys wanted a bit more.
I find that
had a taste, you wanted more, deal with it. Deal with the repercussions.
But I find it incredible that two very small nations have such power. I mean, if Germany and France, dare I say, had a ding-dong, would be hours out.
Well, Germany would be screwed because they're massive.
You turn up to work and they'd say, well, you're 3 hours late. Oh, bloody hell.
Blame Germany.
As someone who does a Luke and Pete show, Pete, I didn't want to hear more.
No.
If anything, I wanted to hear less. You two wanted to hear more, but I remember in the vague, distant past, we were talking about Stoke, who are a massive 8-1 to beat Spurs on Saturday. £10 with Bet365 return, £90 including stakes, should they pull off an upset. At time of recording, it's kicking off at the same time.
Yeah.
All nothing's right. changed.
Well, there might be a power surge at half time. You never know.
Get there 5 minutes early, because that could be a kickoff.
The Brits aren't affected.
Because Brexit, mate.
Good Brexit, mate.
Whee! Justification. Right, one wouldn't argue. But Stoke do need a win. And Luke, I know you've been quite, truthful, one might say. One might say harsh about Stoke, but it would be truthful because they are in the relegation zone. They played well against Arsenal, but they were beaten 3-0, which they will take some heart from. But yet, if you play well and were beaten 3-0, it is a bit of a kick in the goolies.
Well, they've won one game since the end of October. That's not right, is it? They must have won more than that. They've won not many games in quite a long time. One game since the end of December, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was against Huddersfield. I thought Charlie Adams' performance, we didn't talk about it on the show, I don't think, at the time, but Charlie Adams' performance at home to Stoke was at home to Everton was absolutely outrageous.
Well, they've got the worst goal difference in the league.
Yeah.
And that matters down there, because if you think about it, Southampton have got minus 18, Stoke City have got minus 32. That is your league equivalent of away goals, or it's almost like another point. And when it's that tight down there, that really does matter. And that goes massively against them. They need something. And
well, Marcus, they went for a run where they played Huddersfield, Watford, Bournemouth, Brighton, Leicester and Southampton. And they won one of them.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing that's going to put you in the championship.
Mm.
this Spurs game's tough for them. They go away to West Ham, they're fighting for their lives. They play Liverpool. Still, it's going to be very, very hard for them.
Should Charlie Adam start shooting from corners?
Well, this is the thing. Charlie Adam is the most irresponsible player in the Premier League. I mean, every time he gets the ball, he shoots. If it doesn't go his own way, he gets so petulant that he ends up getting himself sent off. I mean, it was such an irresponsible performance for by him against Everton. And then against Arsenal, I thought it looked okay in patches. I thought they did all right. But they, as you said, Marcus, they came out on the wrong end of a 3-0. And so, you know, you don't get any points for playing all right for periods of the game.
You don't.
So it's hard to see them doing well against a team who play with such intensity that Spurs play with.
All right, then. Well, Luke Moore, let's have our best bet with Bet365.
Let's have it, indeed. This one comes from Rob Loveridge. And I'm going to read his email out because I had a bit of a... actually, a ding-dong's probably overstating it, but Rob called me out on Twitter this week and said, listen, I'll let him pick up the story. He said, hello.
I will fight you in the octagon.
Yeah. He said, hello, Ramblers. I have been frustrated in recent weeks with the lack of success in the Bet of the Week competition that you have been running. And another loss this week had me disappointed again. Last week's bet of both teams to score in a game involving a team that has failed to score in 11 of their 15 away games this season against a team with the best goal difference in the bottom 11 looked like a non-starter, and so it proved. My frustration peaked. So I did what any right-thinking football fan would do. I had a pop at Luke on Twitter. And believe me, that is more accurate than you know, Rob.
Yeah.
He said, but he suggested I have a crack at the Bet of the Week business, and so here I am. I think I just went back to him and said, look, have a go yourself, and I'll pick you.
And he bloody well has.
And he said, I've gone for both teams to score in both Everton v Liverpool and Man City v Man United at, I believe, 1.88 to 1. Mm-hmm. My logic is the better team in both of these fixtures faced off on Wednesday night, and tired legs means goals. I can't see Liverpool and Man City failing to score, but United will be desperate to secure at least a draw. I realise now I'm relying on Everton, which is foolish, but never mind that. Let's hope the goals are flying on Saturday for charity. Keep up the good work, Rob Loveridge, aka the guy who called Luke out on Twitter.
Well done, Rob. He's relying on Everton. Didn't the Rodden family rely on Everton?
They did.
Never rely on Everton.
Well, both teams are scoring both of these games. United v City and Everton v Liverpool is indeed 1.88 to 1. So £50 on that will return £144.49, including stake, with all proceeds, of course, going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. I hope you do it, Rob. You've been a good sport about it. You chipped off on Twitter. You took it on the chin when I gave you a bit back. And here we are. So fingers crossed it comes out for the best and for the best for Prostate Cancer UK as well.
Go on, Robbo. Go on, son. Right. What has Luke been asking the listeners this week, I wonder?
Very quickly, before I do that, I've been asked by Sam, the merchandise man, to say that we've still got some merch available at fcramble.com. Limited edition t-shirts, they're great. Go check them out. That's fcramble.com. And also keep an eye on the Instagram this weekend because we're all going to Naples.
Oh, yeah.
To watch Napoli v Chievo. And we'll be putting a load of videos and stuff up there on Instagram and probably Twitter as well. So that is at Football Ramble on Twitter and at The Football Ramble on Instagram.
Yeah, I might turn up.
Yeah, we're still wondering whether Pete's going to be there or not. Yeah. We hope he is. We've booked him in. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he turns up.
Yeah. There we are.
Anyway.
What has Luke been asking the listeners this week, I wonder?
You're in a hurry to get somewhere, and so instead of using public transport, you hail a taxi. As it pulls up, a footballer is driving it. Who do you want it to be and why?
Gareth Barry.
First experience. Up, Peter Robson, Gareth Barry, experience.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. There was loads of answers to this. I've just picked my favourites. Matt Wernham, N'Golo Kante, his ability to defy the laws of physics and be in two places at once is bound to come in handy. On the downside is he probably can't reach the pedals, so might need wooden blocks on them, like Short Round in the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Do it.
Like who?
Short Round in
Let's
the Temple of Doom.
Let's not have the...
No, but do your Sean Connery from Indiana Jones.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, right, that's not,
it's a different film, but it's the same franchise.
Yeah, okay. Gandhi.
Do Junior.
Thank you. I was talking about N'Golo Kante.
Michael Butterman, John Sitton, one of the few drivers who would allow me to bring my dinner with me on the journey.
He'd insist on it, if anything.
Yeah. Carl McKenna, Scott Parker.
Yeah, good one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tony Brown, Andy Gray, if only for the get in sun when entering the cab.
Oh my goodness.
And I'll finish with this one from Matt Williamson, Alan Neom, because his surname sounds like a car going fast.
How about Paul War Exhaust? Paul Warhurst.
War Exhaust.
Yeah, it doesn't work on any level, really, does it? It's not even one of those ones that works and it's written down.
Right, Stephen Carr, fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, I was about to say that. Well played.
Who's his brother then?
Who's his brother?
Alan Carr.
Stephen Carr.
John Carver. There we go.
Nice.
Got one in there.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. Pete, did you have another one there?
Limousine one.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
I was pregnant. I was pregnant with that.
Pregnant with a pun.
I know. Yeah. It's all about releasing people to be who they are and restricting them when they go too far. Yes, thank you very much.
What about
everybody.
Traffic to Wanyama?
I'm pressing the button.
Yannick Carrasco, which is...
You're never going to beat Limousine and Woe.
I don't think so.
No.
Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
See ya.
Say goodbye,
PT.
Car Ariel Ortega, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.